Amen. Well, praise God tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
On this Wednesday, September 17th, keep my eye on the calendar.
Amen.
If when they play games like basketball, football, and hockey, it's important for them to keep their eye on the clock, then I think we need to understand that the calendar is our clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we should keep our eye on that.
Yeah.
Amen. Because see, in those games, there's certain plays that you might run based on the time on the clock. Like in football, for example, you'll throw passes in the middle of the field when there's a lot of time left. If you complete the pass and he gets tackled, the clock keeps running, but you don't care.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
But at the end of the game, when you don't have any timeouts, you don't throw passes in the middle of the field.
Amen. Amen.
Because you don't want the clock to run out. Amen. You now start throwing passes to the sideline.
Amen.
So that if it's caught, he can get out of bounds and stop the clock.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play the game without looking at the clock, you're going to lose.
Yes, sure.
So, to me, our clock is the calendar. There's a certain time of the year you need to be doing certain things. Even if it's just mentally or spiritually, you know, saying, okay, now it's time for me to buckle down. You need to know when that time comes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Farmer needs to know what time of the year it is, don't he?
That's sure.
That's right.
You can be going out there when the frost is on the ground and you, now you want to plant seed.
You can try.
Yeah, you can.
You can try.
Yeah, be dumb, but you can try.
Amen. So, yeah, let's keep our eye on our clock, amen, that, you know, not because we are afraid of, you know, that time's going to run out on us or anything, but we just need to know what plays to run. Listen, not every play is good for every part of the game.
That's right.
The Bible even says, right, it's a time for this and it's a time for that. Right? Time for this and a time for that. And so we are aware of what time it is. Amen.
Amen.
So it's Bible study time. Everybody has a lesson 11?
Yeah. I have a lesson 11.
I don't.
You don't?
No. Do we have?
We have two.
I can share with Chelsea.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Let me praise God. And we're going to pray tonight. We're going to pray for Christian. He's not feeling well. A little cold or something. Attempting to come on him. Got him down at the moment. But we'll pray for our Bible study and pray for him as well. Amen. So let's do that and then we'll get started on our last lesson in the study of Moses. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to this point. And Father, our eyes are on you and on the season that you have brought us to. Father, we're praying that your will be done in our lives, just as it's done up in heaven, perfectly and completely, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we know the only way that could happen, God, is that we have to continue to heed your voice and to seek your heart. And Father, we purpose to do that, and that is why we are even here on tonight. So Father, speak unto us, God. Let your will be known, O God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Bless us, O God, to come away with understanding that we may be transformed. And Father God, we bless you. We praise you and we honor you as you do it. And Father God, we ask that you will look upon Christian at this very hour, O God. We thank you, God, that you are his healer. And so, Father, we just ask you to manifest your power in him right now in the name of Jesus. Touch him in his body, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, take away anything that is not of you and fill him with your healing virtue, your power, and your strength.
Yeah.
Raise him up speedily, O God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we will give you all the praise because only you, God, are our healer. And so, Father, we bless you and by faith and thank you for Christian's healing. We thank you, God, for this Bible study and all that you're going to do. And to you, God, we just lift up our hands and give all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We are at the last lesson in this study of
Moses. And I want to say this, amen, that Moses clearly is one of the great leaders in the Bible. Amen. One of the great leaders, great men of God. Amen. Is Moses. And certainly Moses is identified with the law. Right? The Pharisees, when they would talk with Jesus, they would talk about Moses our father and what he taught them, what he taught the people of God through the law and through writing of the first five books of the Old Testament. When Jesus was transfigured on the mountaintop, he was seen having a conversation with Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophet. Amen. And so, and Jesus often said, "Do that the law and the prophets hang on the commandment to love." But Moses represents the law. But one of the great leaders, right? Leading God's people out of Egyptian bondage. Over 400 years they were in slavery to the Egyptians. And Moses was the one that God chose to lead the people out. One man. I mean, how many of you know sometimes just one person needs to be chosen? And that one person makes the difference, you know. One man. And God chose him and used him in a mighty way. And we've been studying him for the past few months. I just want to recap a little because I think it's helpful. You know, sometimes we can go through, oh, we had 11 lessons, but, you know, you might not remember lesson number one. You know, it's like it was back there somewhere. But just to recap real quickly, lesson number one, we dealt with the call to leadership. Because Moses is a leader, but if you're going to be a leader with God, you have to be called to leadership. Mm-hmm. And Moses was called by God at the burning bush. Right? The bush was burning. Moses looked and saw, why isn't this bush being consumed? And then when he went over to look, God spoke to him. How many of you know it's good sometimes, amen, not to just see something and keep walking by, right? But you never know. God could be in that thing, and he got something to say to you, amen? Mm-hmm. Moses could have looked and kept on walking, and who knows, God maybe not would have never called him. But he saw it, and he said, let me go see why this bush is not burning up. Mm-hmm. And as he got closer, God called. God wants us to come closer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He said, you come close to me, I'll come close to you.
Right.
You can't know God from a distance. You got to come close.
Mm-hmm.
And as Moses came closer, God revealed himself. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh unto you. And so he was called to leadership. Amen. And this is the one thing that we have to understand. And we've seen it. People who aren't leaders, who try to be leaders.
Yeah.
And they just mess up.
Mm-hmm.
They just mess up. You have to be called to leadership. You just can't try to anoint yourself and appoint yourself as leader. That doesn't work. Because people will identify that right away. Because I think, because all authority comes from God, right? So that means then that there's an anointing that God gives to leaders.
Amen.
And if you don't have it, people will know. People will know, okay, you're pretending. I'm not following you. Right? But he has to be called. And Moses was called. Amen. He was called to leadership. The second lesson, it dealt with prayer and the importance of prayer in a leader's life. And we were looking there when the children of Israel were trapped at the Red Sea. And Moses prayed unto God. And God told him what to do. Lift up your rod. And the sea parted. But prayer is certainly an important part of leadership. The third lesson dealt with Moses as the leader, leading the people into the presence of God. And he did that at Mount Sinai. Remember that? When he led the people to the presence of God. And God spoke with such an awesome voice that the people said, don't let God speak to us anymore, Moses. You speak to us from now on. Because his voice was just something that they could not really comprehend. I mean, they understood what he was saying, but the strength and the power behind it. But Moses led them into the presence of God. And leaders should do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any good leader in the kingdom of God should lead people to God.
Amen.
Because a leader has to make up his mind. A leader has to make up her mind. Where are you leading the people who's following you? You gotta make up your mind. Because I'm telling you this, the people who are following you are watching. Where are you leading you? Right? You ever follow behind somebody? Don't you wanna know where they're leading you?
Yeah.
Where are you taking me? Where are you going? Right? And if you're a true leader of God, you should be leading people to one place. To God.
Amen.
You should be leading people to Jesus. Not to yourself. Not to look at me and how smart I am and how good I am. You should lead them always and point them always to the Lord.
Amen.
And so that's what Moses was. So a good godly leader. Lead people into the presence of God. Our fourth lesson dealt with personal time alone with God. And that's when God took Moses and put him in the cleft of the rock. You remember that? He put him in the cleft of the rock and he put his hand in front of Moses and then he walked by. And all he allowed Moses to see was his back parts. He said, because no man can see my face and live. Right? So he saw God there. But he spent time alone with God in the cleft of the rock. We need alone time with God. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to be a leader. You need alone time with God. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love your kid. Love your friend. Love your fish. Love your dog and all that. But you need time alone with God.
Amen.
Amen. Whether that's early in the morning, late at night, both, whatever, middle of the day, you need alone time with God. Our fifth lesson dealt with the requirements of holiness. And this was about Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. Remember, they had just been anointed as priests. And this was in Leviticus chapter 10. And the Bible tells us they offered strange fire on the altar. And because they offered that strange fire, God killed them right on the spot. And he told Aaron, and you better not cry. Remember? And Moses was kind of matter of fact. He said, why is Moses so cold? And we don't even know what was wrong with the fire that Abihu and Nadab offered. And maybe that's the point. The point is, you don't need to know what was wrong with it. All you need to know is that it wasn't what God commanded. Sometimes we always want to know, what he did wrong? You don't need to know what he did wrong. You know what I mean? Sometimes that's all we want to know. But you know what? If he's locked up, he's locked up for a reason. God did this to them because they didn't follow his commands. And so it was a requirement of holiness. If you're going to serve God, it's going to be on God's terms. We can't decide how we're going to worship God, how we're going to serve God. And so there's a requirement that God has of holiness, and we learned that in chapter 5. That's a good thing for a leader. You got to understand. You got to follow God's requirement, not man's. We ought to obey God rather than man, right? That's what we have to obey. Lesson number 6 dealt with leading people to rest and refreshment. And it was talking about the Jubilee, right? The year of release. And that was in Leviticus chapter 25. And, you know, again, if you're a leader, where are you leading the people? And as Moses was the leader, he led them into this place of rest and refreshment, the year of Jubilee. He taught them that, even though there was no evidence in the Bible that the people actually celebrated Jubilee. Our seventh lesson was God supporting those he calls. Now, we might have lost that message a little bit, but if you remember, that was the lesson on the quails. When the people just wanted meat, and God sent quail into the camp, and said, okay, you want meat so bad, because they didn't want the manna anymore. Okay, you want meat so bad, I'm going to give you the meat, and you're going to eat the meat for 30 days. And you're going to have so much meat, it's going to come out your nostrils. Remember that? It's going to come out your nostrils, and while you're chewing on it, it's going to make you sick. But in the midst of that, when the people were complaining, Moses started to complain about the people and saying they were terrible. You know, these people are just driving me, you know, they're such a burden on me. And we saw how God responded to what the people were complaining about with judgment. But with Moses, he responded in a different way. And he sent 70 people, and he allowed the spirit that was on Moses to be put on those 70 people, the 70 elders, so that they could share the leadership load with Moses. So God supports those that he calls. Amen. And we saw that in that lesson number 7. Then lesson number 8 is a real lesson in leadership, right? It was dealing with outright resistance. This is when the people, right, when the spies that went out to the promised land, and this is Numbers chapter 14, and they came back, and 10 of the spies had a bad report. The giants in the land, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. The walls are fortified. But Joshua and Caleb were like, no, let us go up at once. We can overcome it. And the people were mad. They started crying. Let's get ourselves a captain, go back to Egypt, all of that. Outright rebellion. And Moses had to deal with that. How many of you know leaders got to deal with outright rebellion? Yeah. Insubordination. People don't want to listen to the leader. Insubordination. They know a better way of doing it. Just telling you, no, I'm not doing the thing that you tell me. You want to be a leader, you're going to have to deal with that. Amen? It's not a cakewalk. Lesson number 9 dealt with God's high standards for his leaders. And in that lesson, that's when Moses, the people were complaining about, again, not having water. And God told Moses to speak to the rock and the water would come out. But instead, Moses took his staff and struck the rock twice. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he called the people names. You know, must I get water from this rock, you rebels? Right? And God never told him to tell the people off and all those things. Mm-hmm. And he struck the rock and made it seem like he was the one bringing forth the water. Must we? He didn't ask. Right? And God said, because you didn't sanctify me in the eyes of the people, amen, you're not going in. So here's Moses leading the people out of Egyptian bondage, leading the people in all these years of wandering in the wilderness, and now he strikes the rock, and God said, okay, because you did that, you're not getting into the promised land. Why? Because God has high standards for his leaders, and he can't allow his leaders to do things and to disobey, and then the people to see that the leader's getting away.
Right.
Because they're going to say, well, if he's getting away, then, right? And then he's going to lose credibility before the people. But more than anything, God looks bad. Because the leader is a reflection of,
right,
of God, right? So there are high standards on leaders, and we saw that in lesson number 9. Lesson 10, which was last week, I believe, if we were here last week.
I don't know.
We were? Where were we?
You were in the city.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so last time that we gathered, it was about the leader's role in keeping God's word fresh. Right, and current. And, you know, God was using words like, you know, teach them and show them and remind them and all those things about keeping the word current. Leaders need to do that, right? And we talked about the different things that, you know, a church can do, whether it's, you know, Bible study, Sunday school, the sermons and other things to keep the word taught. But you got to do it in a way that's fresh so that people can, you know, not say, okay, I heard this before.
Right.
Right. And I think, though, a leader doesn't want to go to the extreme to the point where they think they have to entertain the people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is not entertainment. You want entertainment, go to a show. Mm-hmm. When you come to church, it's not about being entertained. Doesn't mean you can't have an enjoyable time in church. I think you should. Right. You can learn and enjoy at the same time, but it's not a show. And it's not here to tickle your fancy, but leaders do have a role in that. So we saw all these things with Moses. I mean, so these are just sort of a recap of some of the things we've learned over these last few months. But you start to put together the package and you realize, wow, this leadership thing is serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to be called. I need to spend time in prayer. I need to lead people into the presence of God. I have to spend time alone with God. God has requirements of holiness. Right? I have to lead people to a place of rest and not unrest. God supports leaders. There are going to be some people who are going to not support you. In fact, they're going to might outright rebel against your authority. God has high standards for his leaders. And he expects his leaders to keep the word fresh.
Yeah.
So now, people that I want to be a leader, okay, step right on up. But you've got to understand something. God is not lowering the standard for you. So we have to be prepared to rise up to the standard or stay home, right? What I mean stay home means stay out of that spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are in lesson 11, and it's entitled On the Verge, and the subtitle is Passing the Baton, and it's about passing on power. This is important, right? That I believe every good organization, you know, I heard someone say this, you know, they said, what is your, and talking to the head of an organization, said to him once, said, what is your get hit by a bus strategy? Right? Because if you're the head of the organization, the question really needs to be asked, what happens if you are unexpectedly removed from this spot? Mm-hmm. There needs to be something in place.
Right?
Somebody got to carry on.
Yeah. None of us are guaranteed anything. I mean, so the question, so what's your get hit by a bus strategy? If for some reason, right, you are either permanently or temporarily, but immediately removed, what happens to the organization?
That's why they have key man insurance.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely right. But you know, in the church, this even has me thinking that. In the church, there needs to be that. No, nothing's guaranteed. So what happens? You know, so God is big on succession, right? That's why he had Joshua always at the side of Moses. Even Moses went all the way up to the top of Mount Sinai. Joshua couldn't go all the way up, but he would go halfway up and wait for Moses to come back down. Right? But God certainly anointed and appointed Joshua to be Moses' successor. Mm-hmm. And so it's a pass the baton strategy, and that's something that's important for leaders too. They have to know there's a time for you to run the race and to run your leg of the race, and there's a time for you to pass the baton on to somebody else.
Yeah.
You can't be leader forever. Right? I like watching those nature shows where they show the, you know, the lion cub, and he grows up, and then he takes over the pride. And you can tell he's, you know, he's strong, he's young, you know, the big mane and everything else. And then they show, as years go by, how he ages. And then some young bucks come in, and sometimes they show some young lions coming in, and he wars them off. He's still Mufasa. But then there comes a time when he can't ward off the intruder. And he has to just go off into the sunset. Mm-hmm. And you look at that, and there's a little bit of sadness in it. But one thing I love about nature is not based on morals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, animals don't go, oh man, that's wrong. That shouldn't happen. It ain't about that. It is true survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
It's not a moral society out there in nature. That's just the way it goes.
Right.
So, yeah, he was a king for a while, but now it's time for new leadership to come in. Now, in our moral and spiritual society, we don't want it to go down that way. Sometimes it does, right? But there should be a succession, and leaders have to understand there's a time to step down. There's a time to step down. A leader who doesn't know how to step down is like a boxer who doesn't know how to quit.
Yeah.
Those of us who've watched boxing over the years, there have been too many boxers who didn't know how to stay out of the ring. Their time had gone, but they had to keep coming back.
Yeah.
It's a sad sight to see. It's a sad sight to see. All right, so let's look at the scripture text tonight, Deuteronomy 31:1-13. It says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priest, the son of Levi, which bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place where he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. But clearly, you can see, it's a transition. It's being set up for transition. Let's look at our lesson introduction. It says, what a journey from being a shepherd of sheep in the desert to being a shepherd of a nation through the desert. Moses had lived a full life, a life that will never be forgotten. Now both he and Israel are prepared to move on, but in different directions. Now, let's look at the group discussion question. It says, what is difficult about turning over leadership? What would be some of the problems, some of the difficulties or challenges in any organization, but you know, in the church included, in turning over leadership?
Not from the religious aspect, but I know sometimes people don't want to turn over because with leadership come authority and power, and they don't want to let that go.
Mm-hmm. Some people don't want. Some people want to hold on to.
Right, hold on to it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's hard to pass on something that you refuse to let go.
Right. Right.
And you know, it's called the subtitle is called passing the baton. So we can all envision a relay race.
Mm-hmm.
Right. First leg, you know, the guy or the gal running with the baton
mm-hmm.
passes it off for the second leg. Can you imagine if one of those racers got to the next teammate, and the teammate's running, and he just refuses to give him the baton? They're gonna lose that race. They're gonna lose that race. It's the same thing in leadership. If when it's time to pass the baton, if you're not going to pass it, that chain is gonna fail. So yeah, holding on to it. I think from a leader standpoint, there's another side. Sometimes the leader is not confident in the successor. In other words, they're not confident that the successor is going to do the right thing for the group, for the people, whether it's employees or church members or whatever the organization may be. You know, and it may be based on things that are accurate, or maybe some things that aren't. The leader just, you know, think nobody can do it like he can. But you gotta let people do what they do. But you know, it's, you know, sometimes you may not have somebody who's ready to assume the role,
right.
And that can get in the way of, you know, of turning over leadership. But certainly holding on to power seems to be, the question seems to imply turning over, meaning it's up to the leader to say, okay, my time is done.
Right.
And, you know, that's something we see in the scripture text. So let's look at question number one. So we look at the scripture text that we just read, Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 13. Question one, how would you describe Moses' attitude as he prepares to set down his leadership and turn over the reins to Joshua?
Yeah,
He is encouraging, right? He's telling the people, be strong and courageous. He's telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. God's not going to leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. You're going to take over the land. God is going before you. Yeah. Just follow him. Right? Teach everybody the law. You know, and when you have after 7 years, you have the Feast of Tabernacles, teach everybody the law. Yeah. Moses seems to be a man at peace.
In a way, he's probably not happy about the way it went down. Yeah. But in another thought, he's like, man, I don't have to deal with these niggas.
Yep.
And you can have, because when you look at it, he's actually preparing Joshua's pretty well, saying, that's hey, true. You know, blah, blah. I got confidence in him. So he's setting the atmosphere for him already. Saying, mm-hmm. you know, and coming from Moses at that time, even though they complained about him, they still got a lot of confidence in him.
No question.
So for him to say, hey, you're in good hands,
turn it over to somebody else.
Yeah. I also think, though, it's kind of like watching your child go off to college and stuff like that. It's like you've nurtured them and watched this thing grow.
Right.
And
right.
And there's a sadness to it.
And a happiness.
I think there's a sadness to him. To yeah. Moses too. Yeah. But it's one of those mixed emotions,
yeah.
kind of things. You want it to happen. You plan for it to happen.
And you know it has to.
It has to happen, but...
yeah. Right, it is a mixed emotions. I mean, it's sort of, you know... And here's the thing, but it's one of those things that needs to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner you accept it, the better off you'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has to... There's certain things that have to happen. And here, I think Moses, I really do believe, as you read this, I believe he's at a point in his life now. When someone starts saying, I'm 120 years old. You know what I mean? Now, nobody can say that today. But you know, when someone is saying, I'm 85 years old, that means they've been doing some thinking. Because no one just goes around talking, right? You know, and especially in a situation like this, when he's talking about, okay, it's time for you to go and cross the Jordan. He says, and I'm not going, right? And I can no more go out and come in. What that means is I can't lead you anymore, right? And also the Lord told me I'm not going over to Jordan. You don't get a sense that he's complaining. Then we saw last week when he talked about he wasn't going over to Jordan, he said, it's because of you. Remember?
Right.
In the final lesson, he said, it's because of you I'm not going over. But now he seems to be at peace with his idea. I'm not going over. But Joshua's going to take you over. So he seems to be in a different place now of understanding where he is in terms of his leadership and his relationship to the people. Now let's look at question two. It says, for 40 years, Moses lived in Pharaoh's court. For 40 years, he was a shepherd. And for 40 years, he was the leader of a nation. How did each phase of his life contribute to making him God's servant leader? So that's the first when he lived in Pharaoh's court. What do we think about that one? What did Moses learn when he spent 40 years as the prince of Egypt living in Pharaoh's court?
I think he did a lot of watching. You know, watching Pharaoh and learning how to lead. You know, just by watching Pharaoh. Doesn't really say much.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
But being in that position, watching,
yeah.
and see.
He understood the pain of the people.
Mm-hmm. He saw that.
Because you can't relate to nobody if you haven't went through the same hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's too why a lot of people respected him too, because he endured everything they endured.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Moses was never a slave in Egypt. He was never a slave.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw their plight.
Right.
And he tried to do something about it himself. Remember when he killed the Egyptian who was arguing with the Hebrew? Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing, too, that after Moses fled Egypt, and we're going to deal with what he learned in his second 40 years in a second, but after he fled Egypt, And then he answered God's call at the burning bush. The first place God told him was, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go.
And we mentioned this at the time early on in the study that it's an amazing thing how now God puts him back into a place where he was familiar. In other words, now he has to go stand before Pharaoh. But he'd been there before. See, some of us, if you had to go into the White House right now and talk to President Obama, you might be so intimidated by your surroundings.
Right.
You'd be thinking about, wow, look at this, look at that, look at that. And so now he comes in. But if you've been in the White House before because you worked there for 8 years, you just walk in just the same way you walk into your house.
Right.
You're familiar with everything. And so I think when he went back to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, the fact that he had some familiarity helped him overcome and maybe some of those jitters he would have otherwise had.
Mm-hmm.
And you know he was kind of scary. Remember he was telling God, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't speak. Remember when God called him?
Yeah.
So he might have learned even that. That might have been something that was valuable for him too, to know, you know, to get comfortable in that environment. Because God knew, son, somewhere down the line, you're going to be back here. See, only God knows that.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that are happening in our life. We don't even understand why we were there, but God says, that's okay, because you're going to be back there again. And you're going to be glad you had this experience. Okay, so what did he learn his second 40 years when he was a shepherd in the desert?
He learned how to deal with hard-headed sheep.
And you know how to deal with them in the desert.
Yeah.
Right? Because isn't there something now that these years later, God has him in the wilderness leading his sheep
in the desert.
In the desert. So if God actually allowed him to get some experience leading sheep in the desert. Amen. And then, of course, what did he learn his last 40 years as he was now leading God's people? He was leading the nation. Yeah, certainly. You know, responsibility. I would say this too. Yeah. And how did he carry it out? To me, I believe in, if you look at, he had to learn to totally rely on God.
Yeah.
Because how in the world are you going to lead millions of people? You never even want, there's no training for this. He didn't go to school. Not technically, you know what I mean? He didn't get no degree. They said, okay, now you can lead 6 million people through the desert.
Right.
You know he had to rely on God.
Yeah.
Millions of people? I couldn't imagine. In the desert.
That's what I was thinking, too. He learned a lot about how to be a follower, too, because he had to follow.
Yeah. That's right. He had to. Here's the thing I believe. The best leaders are followers.
Oh, yeah.
The best leader is a good follower. At some point, you got to be a good follower.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You have to be a good follower if you're going to be a good leader. You grow into a good leader, I think, but you start out by being a good follower. Mm-hmm. People tell you to do something, you do it. You're a good follower.
Mm-hmm.
They give you instruction, you do it. Right? They ask you to do something, you don't want for what? No, you do it.
Right.
Question 3. Moses is 120 years old and facing his limits at this point. Why might it be good for Moses and Israel that God is restraining him from entering the land? In other words, why is it good for both Moses and the nation that God is not allowing him to lead them into the promised land?
Moses is tired.
Moses has been through a lot, right?
Yeah,
and there's a lot of fighting left to do.
Mm-hmm.
They did more fighting in the promised land than they did in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I think it sets the example. Like for Moses, you know, he had to know that God is serious about his commandments, and it shows people that God is serious about his
commandments. Mm-hmm.
So sort of set the, okay,
don't mess around. Don't mess around. If God has standards, you need to follow them. He didn't give Moses a pass, so you know he's not giving you one. I believe it also provides a strong lesson for the people in this regard. That it's about God. It's not about the leader. See, if Moses continues to lead, then people might start idolizing Moses. Mm-hmm. He's the one. And I think God has to let you know, look, I raise up who I want to raise up to do the job at particular times. So that's why there needs to be succession, so nobody gets too caught up on the leader. Because if Moses led them for 40 years in the wilderness, and then he's leading them across the Jordan too, and he's leading them to conquer the land too, maybe they think, man, Moses, Moses, Moses. And people might think they can't do anything without Moses. That's a bad place to be. That's why I think even pastors of the church, they need to be careful. Don't lift up yourself so that people can start to think that it's all about you.
Amen. That's right.
You don't want people, right? No, it's about God. And sometimes people want to idolize their leaders. Mm-hmm. We saw it in the early church where, you know, people were trying to treat Paul and the rest of them as something, you know. And they said, why are you treating us this way? They tore their clothes. Why are you treating us this way? We're men just like you. What are they saying? Don't worship me. That's the attitude a real leader should have, godly leader. But there's some, I've seen it. Mm-hmm. Oh, they love. They love being lifted up on a pedestal. That's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. The only one who's supposed to be lifted up is God. Man ain't supposed to lift them up. Amen? Mm-hmm. And the only way man gets lifted up is when God lifts him up. He said, you humble yourself under my hand, I'll exalt you in due time. But man shouldn't try to exalt himself. So I think it was good that Moses doesn't get too highly exalted that way, so that people understand. This is about God's program. And so now you got a new leader, we're going to follow Joshua. Because as long as Joshua's following God, we're good. Then they bring in Jim. As long as Jim's following God, we're good. Then they bring in Sally. As long as Sally's following, see, that's the way it has to be. It can't be, well, Jim's not here anymore, what in the world are we going to do? No. As long as God is reigning on the throne, the people of God are good. Right? So I think that was good for Moses not to be able to just keep on. Let's go to 4 and then we'll finish up next week. Let's look at question 4. The last time Israel stood at the edge of the land, they refused to enter. Remember that? They didn't want to go in. There'd be giants in the land. How is Moses preparing them to do better this time? What does he tell them? And it points us to verses 3 through 6. What does Moses tell them so that they can do better this time? Last time, they would say, oh no, the giants, they're too big. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. So
God's going to go before them and destroy the enemy.
Yeah, he tells them, God's going to go before you. He's going to destroy your enemies before your face. What else does he tell them? Be strong and be courageous. What else he tell them?
You won't fail them. Be with you. Be with them. You won't fail them or forsake
them. Right. And he tells them, God's not going to fail you or forsake you. So think about the three things he told them. God's going to go before you and take care of your enemies. Is that true today?
Yes.
Yes.
It might not
happen
when you want it, but yes.
Yeah. But God is still doing anything. Mm-hmm. Believe me, if God wasn't taking care of your enemies be taking care of you. The fact that we're making it day to day means God is taking care of our enemies. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and here you are intact. Amen. God's been taking care of your enemies.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then what's the second thing he said? He said, be strong and courageous. We'll talk about this more next week. Sister Vanilla and I had a conversation about 2 weeks ago where we said, one of the things that doesn't get talked about a lot in church is the necessity to be courageous. Yeah. If you are going to be a person of faith, you have to have courage. The faith walk is not for the faint of heart. And we don't talk about courage enough. We talk about believing. But it takes courage to believe.
Yes. Amen.
It takes courage to stand in the face of facts and say, I'm not stopping at the fact because I'm focused on the truth. And you say truth is greater than fact. Yeah. The fact is, I got a virus in my body. The truth is, by his stripes I'm healed. Yeah. But when your body is aching, it's kind of hard to ignore those facts.
Yeah.
Right? When the roof is leaking and the account is dry, right? Your floor is wet, but your account is dry. Right? When God is telling you, you got two job offers, and you've been out of work for 6 months, and God is telling you to take the job that pays $10,000 less.
That's all of them right there.
That takes courage.
You think of all of that building.
That's right.
You're trying to get ahead of them.
But if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have courage. I'm telling you, there's no way. People are going to, if you're going to walk by faith, courage is a requirement. We don't talk about courage a lot. That's why when God met Joshua, talked to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, in 3 or 4 verses, he told Joshua 3 times, be strong and very courageous. It's something that's really important. And so we want to talk about that. We got to be courageous. That's why God said the righteous are as bold as lions. You don't see lions tiptoeing around. They strut. They have courage, right? That's why that lion in the Wizard of Oz, he was kind of strange. Right? He had no courage. People of God have courage. So he told him, be courageous. And then the last thing he told him is that God would not leave him nor forsake him. Is that true today? Yes, it is. Right? Jesus said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age and to the end of the world. Right? And God has blessed us with the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. So God is always with us. Right? In Jesus' name, Emmanuel, which being translated is God with us. And then Paul tells us that nothing can separate us from his love. So that means he's always with us. Never going to leave us, nor forsake us. That should give us courage, right? We got to step into that unknown. We got to step into that, step out in faith. Amen. But Moses encouraged the people with these words, and these are encouraging words to us even today. To be strong and courageous. Amen. To know that God's going to take care of our enemies, and that he's not going to leave us, nor forsake us. Amen. All right, we'll stop here. We'll pick up at question 5. Okay? Next week, as we finish up on Moses, as he, again, prepares to pass the baton. Amen. So we'll pick up at question 5. But it's been good to study Moses. Amen. As we said, one of the great leaders in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to finish him up on next week. Amen. In the meantime, we keep following God.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Brother AJ and Brother Les weren't here with us on Sunday, but God told us on Sunday that God is taking us places.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. We got to keep focused on him. Amen.
Amen.
We're going places. Amen. But we gotta stay focused. I mean, the enemy if he's not good at anything, he's good at throwing up distractions in our face. Isn't creating distractions part of the art of war?
Yes.
See, enemy uses war. He's engaged in warfare tactics, right? Isn't garbling communications a part of war?
Wow.
That's just like that group now doing, posting stuff on YouTube and everything, create the panic, people see it, put pressure on the president.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a distraction?
Yeah.
Just like what you talked about in football.
Yeah.
You make them think you're going long, And he said that screen pass, and yeah. they're caught off guard.
Yep. So we are in one of Satan's devices, but God is telling us, keep your eye on me. Mm-hmm. Right? And he'll bring us through all the distractions, all the tricks, all the schemes of the enemy, and we're going to get to where we're going. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. And at some point, I'm going to Applebee's. It says, see you tomorrow. That's what it says. Praise the Lord. I don't know about that, but praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks, God. We thank you, Lord, for all the things you continue to teach us. Father, it's our desire to continue to learn and to grow and just to develop as true people of God, that we may be ambassadors for Christ in the earth, and that we may represent you well in all of our doing. So, Father, we just pray that you will continue to bless us, O God, as we humble ourselves under your hand. Continue to teach us the things we need to know and make us better. Make us more like you. And, Father, that is good enough for us, and we will always give you the praise for it. In the name of Jesus. God, we ask you now as we prepare to leave, God, light our pathways home, oh God. And Father, just give us safe passage one more time. And Father, as you do it, and as we arrive home safely, we will lift up our hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for just one more time showing yourself faithful unto your people. Right now, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you glory. We love you tonight. Yes. And we just bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor, we need to pray for a Christian. Can you pray for my... Mr. Lloyd.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.